Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please recognize Representative Banks for CCR to House Bill 1575.
Clerk Reed.
CCR to House Bill 1575 by Banks of the House and Ford of the Senate, an act relating to schools.
Members of the House, to come to order. Members of the House, come to order. Take your seats. Take your conversations outside. Representative Banks needs your undivided attention. Representative Banks, you're recognized to explain your report.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, House Bill 1575 is the Academic Achievement Awards bill based on your API scores. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions on the report. Representative Canada, you're recognized for a question on the report.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Banks, got a couple questions here, if I might. On page 11, if I've got the right form, where you talk about not just the Academic Achievement Awards, but on the language change about temporary contracts, would that be?
Yes.
Okay. Why? Could you explain to us why we break that in the middle? You know, having five, we used to have three. Is there a reason for that?
I'm not sure what the rationale was when they established it at three semesters, because it is an awkward period of time for administrators as well as temporary contract teachers. And the reality is it's not implemented that way. They forego the odd semester. So most people choose right now to pull the trigger at the end of two semesters rather than go to a half of a year and have to make that decision in the middle of a year to let somebody go.
Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could move directions in on to Section G. And that's referring to those who have been put on a plan for improvement and therefore possibly being exempt from any award.
The temporary contract on Section G on page 11, is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about those who have been put on a plan for improvement, and I think that's covered in Section G.
I'm sorry. That's on page 9, Section G, under new law. Okay, go ahead.
You're recognized.
Yes, the rationale there is there's some question about whether or not a teacher who is put on a plan of improvement should be automatically granted the award without some kind of secondary qualification for that. And, of course, we've built into it the safeguard. The superintendent of schools can render judgment on behalf of that teacher based on the conditions of the plan of improvement.
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Okay, now, if I might go to my questions, thank you for that explanation. Who places a teacher on this plan?
The administrators.
You're recognized.
Specifically, the high school principal?
Building principals.
Not the high school, but the principal, is that correct?
Building principals.
Thank you.
Representative Derby, you're recognized for a question on the report.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Banks, did this take care of the issue from Owosso where they received the check in the third grade, but the pre-K and the kindergartners and the first grade teachers were exempt of that check because they weren't necessarily in that same building, but even though they were a part of the education plan of those children to the point where they could be tested at the third grade? I believe also the second grade teachers were exempt of that check.
Yes, page 7 and 8 of the bill address that issue.
Representative Canada, you recognize for a question on the report?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess my question is a broader question this time, Representative Banks. Can we be assured that being put on a plan for improvement will correlate, or having been put on a plan for improvement will correlate to the nature of the AAA award?
I'm not sure I understand the nature of your question. Plans of improvement are as varied as there are building principals issuing those plans of improvement, and the rationale that brings them to the point to establish the plan of improvement. So you're really dealing with a case-by-case basis as to why they got on there to begin with, and I'll acknowledge that could run the gamut from something very superficial to something very substantive. But again, it's based on the personnel that are engaged in that activity on behalf of that classroom teacher.
Representative Kennedy.
Thank you, Representative Bantz. I think you pretty well answered it with that. So what you're saying is that it could possibly not even relate to the content and the reasons for that award being given.
Yes, that is true, and I would assume, if we can make assumptions, that the superintendent of schools would take that into account in rendering his judgment on whether or not that teacher should also be a recipient of the award.
You're recognized.
One more, if I might, then. Because there's a time frame in the language that you have, does that correlate to the time frame of a plan for improvement? How long can a person be put on plan for improvement? Is there a minimum, maximum, to assure that it fits within that time frame of the award or impacting the award?
The time frame of the plan of improvement would have no bearing if the plan of improvement is in effect at the time the building site qualified for the award, then that would engage the superintendent on behalf of that particular classroom teacher.
Representative Bands moves adoption of the CCR to House Bill 1575. Will there be debate? Seeing the debate, all those in favor of adopting the report say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. CCR is adopted. Fourth reading of the bill.
House Bill 1575 by Bands of the House and Ford of the Senate, an act relating to schools.
Representative Bands moves final passage of the bill. Will there be debate? There will be debate. Those in opposition, push your red button. Those in favor, the green. Members wishing to debate in opposition, push the red. Those in favor, the green. We have Representative Kennedy in opposition. Representative Bands in favor. Other members wishing to debate? Seeing none. Other members wishing to debate? Representative Kennedy, you're recognized for 10 minutes debating against the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and given the late hour, and I hope not to take all of this. First of all, I preface my debate here today, this evening, and I worked with Representative Bands, the author of the bill, and I'm not questioning whatever in any way his motive for this. I think there are just some loose language here that I want all of you to listen to, or at least take into consideration before voting. And I guess the first I'd start out with the portion where we have the temporary contract. Now, are you aware that on a temporary contract, the administration does not have to bring that up? So there's absolutely no consideration of continuing contract here. So if you are hired as a teacher on a temporary contract, now we've had it for 3 semesters. Now we're expanding it for 5 semesters. That may be good. There may be some superintendents who would say, yes, we need that. I guess I'm just concerned that we're trying to address concerns about employment in a school on the backs of teachers. And I think we've found a pattern here on this. But enough of that. What I really am concerned about also is the language in this bill in Section G, which says, if you're on a plan for improvement, that you would not qualify during the time the impact that results in this award, you could not be considered, or you may not be considered for this award or your portion of the award. Of course, the superintendent has the right to override the principal's decision. The building principal makes that decision on whether or not you will be put on a plan for improvement. I have actually seen people put on plans for improvement that did not relate to their work in the classroom. It might be whether or not they resisted or had some concerns about supervising a prom or possibly some extracurricular activity. And I guess this is what I'm concerned about in the wrong hands. And I think, respectfully of the author here, I don't think he sees, I mean, I think he recognizes that it must be done in the right hands, and the superintendent has that oversight. But I'm saying that if I'm a principal and I put somebody on a plan for improvement that I might have some gripe about, and on a probationary, are you aware that a probationary teacher, that is the first 3 years of their employment, can be put on a plan for improvement without any statutory reason. Okay, let me try that again. Are you aware that a probationary teacher, 3 years at a job site, can be put on a plan for improvement that is not based on statutory cause, only cause? Well, that's that looseness there that concerns me a little bit about the language on this bill. So all I'm asking you to do, I'm not asking you to vote against this bill. I'm asking you to consider the possibilities of this. And I'll vote against it because I am concerned about the possibilities of it. I think one of the things we're doing here, again, we're focusing on teachers. And I agree that if a teacher is not contributing to this award, is, according to statutory reason, there are 8 statutory reasons, and if they are not meeting those requirements and the principal puts them on a plan for improvement and the superintendent supports that plan, of course they shouldn't. But what if? What if it happens to be some trivial thing that I know you would never think a principal would get upset at a teacher for something they did unrelated to or not related to the classroom activity, but that can happen. And I guess that's my concern. So I'd ask you to weigh this, weigh your consideration before you vote for this. Thank you.
Members of the House will come to order. Members, we're in debate. The House will come to order. We're in debate. Members, please take your seats. Take your conversations outside. Give your attention to Representative Bands, who will be closing debate in favor of House Bill 1575. Representative Bands, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, let's address the issue first that my colleague has raised as it relates to the plan of improvement. This really boils down to whether or not you trust the people that have been given responsibilities in your local school districts. It's all about local control. And if you don't trust the people that the Board of Education has put in as superintendent, or that they subsequently have hired as administrators in those local building sites, then you need to deal with that at that level. Or perhaps my colleague could run a bill next year that would tighten the rules by which local administrators can put people on plans of improvement. And that certainly would be a topic for discussion at a later day. Members, this is a bill. It's a good bill. It's an established program that we have had for several years. It's compensation really based on merit. And it's all about collaborating and cooperating, developing a team approach in the local schools, and it's rewarding sustained high levels of achievement. A couple of things that we have done to enhance this certainly is to broaden it and make it possible for more schools to qualify for compensation, especially middle school and high schools, because they have a more difficult time acquiring the API scores that would allow them under the current law to be a recipient of an award. So we've established what we call the gold standard, where we would have people competing against themselves exclusively. This really is the best chance that we have to sustain and enhance with future appropriations a program that is well established and well regarded, and I would move adoption. Encourage you to support it. Thank you.
Members, you've heard the debate. The question before the House is shall the bill. I'm sorry. Representative Bands, will you yield to a question? He waves. Members, you've heard the debate. The question before the House is shall the bill pass? Clerk Clarkworth Machine, Sergeant Stance, roll call in the hall. Roll call is in progress. Final passage of House Bill 1575. Representative Roan votes aye. Representative Jordan votes aye. Representative Harrison votes no. Representative Walker votes no. Representative Roan now votes no. Representative Jackson votes aye. Representative Steele votes aye. Representative DeWitt votes aye. Representative Cox votes aye. Representative Osborne votes aye. Representative Kiesel votes no. Representative Billy votes aye. Representative Terrell votes aye. Representative Shannon votes aye. Representative Thompson Mike votes aye. Members wishing to vote or change your vote? Representatives Shelton, Pittman, and Williams, do you care to vote? Members wishing to vote or change your vote, the chair is preparing to close. Declare the vote.
62 aye, 33 nay.
Having received a majority vote of those elected, Constable House declare the bill to have passed. Clerk will activate the machine for the vote on emergency. Representative Thompson, Mike, votes aye. Representative Steele votes aye. Representative Denny votes aye. Representative Jackson votes aye. Representative Ownby votes aye. Representative Harrison votes no. Representative Terrell votes aye. Members wishing to vote or change your vote? Representatives Key, DeWitt, Miller, Arms, Jordan, Nelson, Cox, Shearer, Williams, Morgan, Morissette, Walker, Roan, Shelton, Hamilton, and Pittman. Do you care to vote? Representative Key votes aye. Representative Arms, do you care to vote? Representative Miller votes aye. Representative Cox votes aye. Members wishing to vote or change your vote, the chair is preparing to close. Members wishing to vote or change your vote, the chair is preparing to close. Declare the vote.
59 aye, 31 nay.
Having failed to receive 2/3 vote of those elected in Constitution, declare the emergency to have failed. Representative Bands.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice that I'd like to have an opportunity at a later date to reconsider the vote whereby House Bill 1575 emergency failed.
Journal will so reflect. Mr. Foyler.